Everyone that didn't go camping, it's good to see you're all here. A couple of you decided not to leave town this weekend, but I'm glad to be here. Alrighty, as you know, we are going to be wrapping up the book of Jonah this morning, and we've been at it for a couple of weeks, so I was thinking about it this week. This will be officially the first book of Bible that I finished here at the church. Picked a short one. Thank you. I had to have Michaela change the website because it said employment still wanted, so I was a little unsecure about my job for the last month. Thought maybe you were still looking for another option. So she texted me Friday, and my day off, and she's like, I got it changed. We're no longer searching for someone. So that was good because I bought a house and we're all in. So, but we're happy to be here as our family gets adjusted. And kids, oh man, Tuesday's coming. You're excited. No? Not excited for school. Maybe I should ask the parents if they're excited. Get a sense of relief. Yeah, woo, yay, put them all back in school. And then we run every night with all their activities. But anyways, we've been working on this book of Jonah. And Jonah's just a short book with four chapters. But I've really enjoyed kind of walking through it. And I taught through it many, many years ago at my previous church. But I enjoy teaching them again. I honestly pretty much just rewrote the whole thing. I have a hard time using my old sermons. I just feel like I learn new things all the time. So I rewrote most of it, so you don't have to worry about being regurgitated in one way or the other. But as we've been studying the book of Jonah, we've been looking at this man who, one of the things that we tried to do and that we've been working on through the series is identifying ourselves with the man Jonah. And I came up with a bit of that thought as, part of one of the Jewish festivals we talked about early on was this idea of Yom Kippur, which is a festival that came up in the Old Testament, and a lot of the Jewish people still celebrate it today. But one of the things they do in the festival, they do multiple different things, but one of the things they do is read the book of Jonah aloud to the congregation, and then all of the congregation at the end of the reading tends to respond with, I am Jonah. And what they're doing is they are identifying with the man Jonah, with his struggles, with his pain, with his hardship, all the things that goes wrong in his life. And so we've been doing that, and hopefully you've been able to connect that a little bit as we've been reading and studying. I've heard a few of you make the comments that, oh, I am Jonah, I see myself in that man at times, and so that's encouraging to hear that. But for the last couple of weeks, we've looked at this man who was a preacher, still is. We know that God called him to go and preach to a certain group of people. He said, I need you to go preach to the Ninevites. They were a people that Jonah did not care for. So he decides to run and hide from God, or so he thinks. He gets on a boat, goes on a big journey, big storm comes. All the guys on the boat are like, this is happening because of you, right? And he's like, maybe. So he decides to throw himself in. Big fish comes, swallows him up 3 days, three nights, and he begins to understand God's grace towards him. And so we saw that Jonah kind of emerged as a failure. We talked about what that meant and how God uses that. And we saw that God gave him a second chance to go forward. And then last Sunday, we saw that Jonah decided to go forward. God says to him, arise and go to the Ninevites. And this time he says, okay. And he decides to go, and he preaches a very, very short sermon. And everybody responds to the good news. And it says that there's 100-some thousand people said yes to God, and their lives were about to be changed, including the king. And that's kind of where we ended. And you would think that that's just where the book should end, right? The book would end on a high point. A lot of people met God. Their lives were changed. They turned from wickedness to what they were, and they believed the teaching of God's word, and they started to live their lives different, because really that's the goal of all preaching and teaching in the church, is that our hearts and lives would be changed, that we would learn new things, that other parts of our hearts would be open to grace, other parts of our hearts would be open to love. And from my perspective, that's success, what Jonah did. In this day and age, if you were to do that, preach and 100,000 people decided to give their lives to Jesus all at once, you'd be famous. I mean, there'd be YouTube clips about you. You'd be on Facebook, and I know this from the pastor world, you would have people wanting you to write a book on how to build a big church. You'd have people calling you, trying to do speaking engagements like you did some sort of wonderful thing, but there would be a lot of fanfare around this. And what we're going to see is this man, Jonah, does not respond the way that you would think. In fact, chapter 4, they say, is one of the worst chapters to close a book of the Bible, because it's kind of miserable. It doesn't end where you think it should end. It doesn't end on a high point. It literally just stops and leaves us with 100 questions, which is not super helpful, but we're going to try to unpack some of them today. And so we saw Jonah go from being a failure to a success, And then we jump right into chapter 4. So the end of chapter 3, we saw that God changed all these lives and people were excited and the community changed. And then we're going to see what Jonah says, starting in verse 1. We only need one verse to see Jonah's heart. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Tons of people turn from their wicked ways, and Jonah is angry. It's not the response one was maybe waiting for. This is usually not what preachers do. They don't usually get upset when people's lives are changed. They usually get very excited. And we see that Jonah is angry. I guess the question as you read it is, well, why is he so angry? Why is he so displeased at God when God did an amazing miracle? And in one short verse, he's right back to where he began. Because early on in chapter 1, he was angry then too. He didn't want God to do anything. He didn't want to go to the Ninevites. He didn't want God to rescue them. He didn't want God to save them, and he was angry. And so let's see what he does, because in verse 2, we begin to unpack a little bit of what's going on. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." I think the answer to Jonah's anger is right here, and it has everything to do with God's love. Jonah is angry because God has chosen to love a certain kind of person. And it's not the person that Jonah wanted loved. Remember, as we've looked through the book of Jonah, he didn't like the Ninevites. He hated them. The Ninevites were a cruel and wicked people who would use to pick on the Israelites, which is where Jonah's from. And so they would kill the Israelites, and they would do all sorts of brutal things to them. They would imprison them, slave them, torture them. And in Jonah's mind, the fact that God would show love to that kind of person was beyond his comprehension. He decided he wanted nothing to do with that. He had a hard time with God's patient love. Because God's love would have been very patient towards the Ninevites. And so as you think of it on our own level, I think there are times that if we're honest, we don't understand God's love always and how it works. There's parts of it that just don't, if we're honest, seem fair. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to fit the category that we have. It doesn't seem to fit you. I know for me, sometimes when I think about God's love, there's parts that I still have a hard time grasping. There are times where maybe God's love even feels just way too generous from somebody who's done something wrong. Like, why is our God so generous that way? I think as our human mind, it can be very hard to comprehend. Not just in our mind, but also in our heart. How do we wrap our heart around God's patient love? I mean, Jonah is a lot like me and a lot like you. We will continue to fall back into the patterns of our old life. We will continue to trip on the same failures. We'll continue to trip on the same sins. And what we see from God is a constant pursuing of Jonah. He continually shows Jonah this gracious and generous love. Jonah went back to his old ways, as I mentioned. He's back to hating the people. He's back to hating the Ninevites. So did Jonah ever really change? Maybe not. But I think like all of us, we have these peaks and valleys as Christians. There's times where we sense God's love and other times we're frustrated by it. And I think that was Jonah. He started frustrated. And then we saw him in chapter 3. He understood God's grace. This is wonderful. I'll go to the Ninevites. This is one great. And the Ninevites get saved and he's coming down again like, I didn't really want that. And now I'm unhappy. I mean, I'm not sure if you're anything like Jonah, but is it possible that maybe in our own life that there's times where we've been mad at God for showing love to a certain person? Because I think that's the love that confuses us the most when it comes to God. That he would show love to people that we feel are not worthy of it. I want you to think about something for a moment, and for some of us this is a painful situation, but I want you to think back over your life. Is there someone in your life that if they showed up at your front door this afternoon knocked on the door and said to you, I've met Jesus and my life has changed. Can I come and attend your church? Is there someone in your life that you'd be like, oh, I don't know about that? Because maybe for you, that person you feel doesn't deserve God's love. You see, this is what I'm talking about, wrestling with God's love. It's a hard thing. So that feeling you have is the same as Jonah. Like, I just can't. He's angry at God, just saying, I don't know if I can love that person. I don't know if I'd want that person in my temple. Do I want that person for us in my church? And why? Because that person does not deserve God's love. Do you know what they've done? Do you know what they've done to me? Do you know what they've done to my family? Do you know what they've done to my children? And that's where I think a lot of us can relate with Jonah and say, I get that feeling. I can understand that barrier between myself and God sometimes when it comes to his love. What is Jonah's response to that? Let's read verse 3. Let's see how he handles it. He says this, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live. He said, kill me now before that guy attends my church. He is that upset. He said, just end me now. End my life, Lord. Just take me out. That's how frustrated he is. That's how deep his anger is. That's how much he doesn't understand God's love and still wrestles with it. He would rather die himself than see the Ninevites be saved. I mean, these were the people who tortured his people, killed them, imprisoned them. He maybe even has a good reason for these people to die in his own mind. They were wicked, wicked people. And he says that I would rather die than see you, God, show love and grace to these people. And that's the hard question, is there someone in your life like that? Someone from the past, someone in the present? That if you're honest enough to admit it, that you would maybe even rather die than have them experience God's love and grace and mercy. And then in verse 4, we finally see God speak. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? That's the question God is asking Jonah. And I think it's the same question that he asks us. Do you have a right to be angry? Do you have a right to be upset that if I, God, decide to call that person into a relationship with me? This is what he's asking Jonah. Do you have a right to be angry if I show love and grace to the Ninevites? God asks always really tough questions. That's what I've noticed about studying the Bible. How does Jonah respond to that question? First of all, he doesn't answer it. Verse 5. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. And he sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Jonah doesn't even answer God's question. Just gets up in his anger, heads out of town. And he goes up on a hill and he's going to watch the city of Nineveh because somewhere in his heart he's still hoping God's going to wipe him out. He's like, I'll just sit here and wait. And I'll wait and see what's going to happen. Because I think a part of him still wanted to see them all killed. And so Jonah's sitting up on this hill, the pouting prophet, which he's been referred to as before, pouting at what's going on and wrestling with this idea that God would show grace and love to these people. And let's see what the Lord continues to do for him in verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade over his head. He probably had no hair. To save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. So God appoints. That's a big word. You're going to see the word appoint used 3 times in the next couple of verses. But God appoints a plant to grow over Jonah's head to save him from the terrible heat. Now you need to remember, a lot of this kind of modern-day Nineveh would have been in the Middle East. A lot of desert. It would have been very hot. Some commentators thought it's kind of around the region of Iraq in one way or the other. And so as I was writing this sermon Thursday, I thought, I'm going to see how warm it is in Baghdad, Iraq today. So I looked it up. On Thursday, it was 43 degrees as a high and down to 34 at night. So if you want to just sit out in the sand with no shade like Jonah was doing and a bald head, it's not going to go well. And then you see God in his great ongoing patient love and mercy grows a plant. It could be a tree. Everybody likes to debate. I don't think it matters much, but commentators debate over stuff that provided shade for him. And so Jonah goes from angry, pouting, upset to now I have shade, and Jonah was exceedingly what? Happy again. He was exceedingly glad, and he's happy. Why? Because God showed him grace, love, mercy, and patience. And so Jonah's happy. And then what happens to Jonah, starting in verse 7 through 8? But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed, once again, God's doing, a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, third appointing, scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die. Once again, it is better for me to die than to live. So we're on a range of emotions with Jonah, right? I would rather die. I go to the desert. I get a plant. Now I'm happy. Plant dies and I'm back to, I'd rather just kill me now. And so God has appointed this plant to show Jonah grace and mercy. And then when the plant disappears, Jonah returns to his old self, his old pattern of sin of hating everyone and everything, and he'd rather die. And then God comes to him and repeats the question that he's not answered in verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." God asks him the question, and this time Jonah answers, "Yes, I have every right to be angry. I have every right to just kill me now. This is what I think." You see, we've seen it through the last few verses that God continually shows his patient love to Jonah. If it was me, I'm not God, but even as a human, my patience would have ran out on Jonah. I thought, you can bake in the sun. Good luck, my son. I'm out of here. You know, like a pouting child and the parent walks away. It's like, whatever, you're on your own. But that's why he's God and I'm not. And so God comes to him and continues to speak to him, continues to try to work on his heart, to see if he would change, to see if he would grow. And he continues to just do the same posture over and over and over again. But what I find interesting is that if you're a Christian here today, the Bible calls us children of God. And what we know from reading Scripture, that as children of God, we will always fall back into patterns. We will always continue to trip on our same sin. We are constantly also shown God's patient love time and time and time again. When at times we've all taken the posture of the pouting prophet, God won't do what I want, so I'm just going to sit here and pout till he gives me what I want. I need this job, I need this life, I need this promotion, whatever it is, and we just continue to stop and do like Jonah. Even Jonah constantly was shown God's patient love. He sends a fish to rescue him. That's God's patient love. He could have let him drown. He had every reason to earlier in the book. And what I realized this week is that I am Jonah, that I have been saved and rescued too many times to count by the God that we worship. At times I fail to understand and even believe in God's patient love. I fail to receive his love. I fail to thank him for grace and mercy. I fail to tell others about his patient love for them. But in all of this, in all of this journey as a Christian, I find and I know that God continues to chase me. He continues to pursue me. He wants to see me grow. He wants to see me change. He wants to see me learn. He wants the same for all of us. And we know from reading the book of Jonah that he constantly chases Jonah when he fails. We even see Jonah completely ignore him. Jonah is furious at God, and what does God do? He continues to pursue him. And the question is, well, why does he do this? Well, we see that in verses 10 through 11. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Here's what God is saying. I created these things. I will do what I please with them. I created humanity. I will choose to love them any way I want. I created the plants and the animals. I will choose to do what with them as I want. You see, that's the part where I think we struggle the most. Is we want to be in control of the love and the grace and the mercy. We want to be in control of these things. And God is reminding Jonah and reminding us that he can choose to be gracious with whoever he wants. He can choose to be patient with whoever he wants. He can choose to call anyone to himself, no matter the background or what they've done. God can choose to be generous to whoever he wants. Because he is saying to Jonah and he's saying to us, because they're mine. I am the creator, so I can deal with the created any way that I want. And I think that's where Jonah struggles the most, and I think where some of us struggle as well, is it's hard to rationalize in our mind God's love in that way. We feel like sometimes we want to control how people are loved. We want to control the grace. We want to control the mercy. We do it in the church. Well, that's too much grace for people. That's too much mercy. That's too much love. We shouldn't do that. Instead of letting God maybe sort it out. God can choose whoever he wants and call whoever he wants to himself. Here he is calling 120,000 wicked people to himself. That's hard to wrestle with. I think the greatest problem we have is this, is that we love the wrong things. We love our own comfort. We love our own church. We love our own people. We love our own family. And those aren't bad things, but I would consider it almost a misplaced love. Because then when we build it that way, we've now created a wall to not let other people in. And now without realizing, we've created the walls of how people are to be loved. They'll only be loved if they're like us or look like us or act like us or socioeconomical like us, which then turns us all into Jonah, where we're deciding who gets loved, who gets accepted, who gets grace, who gets mercy. And my fear is this, is that we've put a very small wall around how God loves people. God's love for people is so much larger than ours. His son came to die on the cross for all sin, the greatest act of love. That Jesus would die on the cross for everyone, including the person who could show up at your door. He died for them as well. He made everyone. He's died for the people of this community, even if they don't know it. He went to the cross so that those who would follow him might become children of God. That means the doors are open to more. We got lots of chairs. We can pull out more. I just don't want to see us put a wall around how that love works. And it happens without intention. It happens without even knowing it. People, the measure of God's great grace and patient love for the nations and for Slave Lake is ultimately the cross of Jesus Christ. The question is, do we believe that? See, here's what's really frustrating about the book of Jonah. It just stopped there. That's it. So what happened to Jonah? I have no idea. The Bible says nothing. We don't hear from Jonah again. Did he change? I don't know. Did he go back to preaching? I have no idea. But we talked from the beginning of the series that a lot of people think the book of Jonah is just a myth that somebody told. You know, someone probably never really got swallowed by a fish. You know, it's just a metaphor, it's an analogy. But and I gave you a couple arguments why I don't think that was a myth. And here's another one, and I actually think the whole entire book is evidence. Because why would someone tell this story or write this down? I mean, this makes Jonah look terrible. I mean, this book does not make him look good. There's no hero in Jonah. We're like, well, I want to be like Jonah. You're like, no, I don't want to be like Jonah. Do you want to write down all the things that you've done in a book? Like, if you think back over your life, would you write this down and let everybody read it? And this tends to be my argument why I don't think it's a myth, because no one would want to write down their failures in front of the world. One of the things about the book of Jonah is we didn't really know who wrote it. Some think Jonah, some think somebody else. Jonah probably told the story to someone and they could have wrote it down. It doesn't really matter. Because here's a book that makes the hero look like he's incompetent, that he's a racist, that he's disobedient to God. But I actually believe that this book is here so Jonah could confess his sin and failures before others. That he could confess his sin and failures before a holy God so that we could read it and that we could learn from it and that we could understand we are all just like Jonah, that we will fail, we will trip, we will fall. We will sometimes underestimate God's love and make it like this instead of when it should be like this. Because remember, we are all Jonah. If I was to write my story, it may not look much different than Jonah at times, of my own failure, my own trip-ups. So I don't think the question should be, as we finish the book, what did we learn from Jonah? The question is what did you learn from Jonah? What did you see in the life of Jonah? Where did you see your life cross paths with Jonah himself? We learned that Jonah ran to run and hide from God, and we saw that God continued to chase him and pursue him. We saw on the second week, we talked about God's great grace even when we fail him. That he is a God of mercy, that he's a God of second chances. And then we see that God is also patient and he has love for us. That no matter our constant failures and trip-ups, he loves us even when our past comes back to haunt us. Because we see that with Jonah. This is his past. His past is he hates these people and it keeps creeping up in his life. And that happens to so many Christians. There's parts of our life that continues to creep up and we keep trying to push it down. And what we see is that God loves us even when our past comes back to haunt us. He loves us even when we do wrong. He loves us even when we start to bend and break on our faith and what we believe sometimes. We see that he loves us even when we decide to go our own way. And as children of God, like all children, we get stubborn and go our own way. And so the truth is this, is that I am Jonah. I will fail and I will fall. I will choose my own way. I will run and hide. I will doubt his love. But my God continues to show me and you great grace. My God continues to show me his patient love. My God continues to chase me. He continues to pursue me. And when I think about this and how life plays out at times, it's easy to look back on life with regrets. I'm sure Jonah had some regrets, like the rest of us. But we need to remember that our God will chase and pursue us right where we are. And what we need to learn is sometimes just to stop and receive what he has for us and what he wants to say to us. And I don't want to end the book of Jonah where we can't rejoice what God is doing in the city. I pray that as God continues to move in and through this church, that we would be a church that celebrates what God will do. That we would learn about grace and love and mercy, that maybe our hearts would expand that towards the people of our community. That we could celebrate, unlike Jonah, people meeting Jesus. that we as a church would celebrate lives being changed, including the people we have a hard time being patient with ourselves. And so I was trying to think of a way to close the book of Jonah. And I'm going to show you a little video. We're going to try some different things. You'll live. We change things once in a while. But I was listening to some music this week, and there was a song. And they're a fairly well-known group, 10th Avenue North. But it's not a big rock song. It can be. But I kind of found a simple acoustic version. And as I was listening to the lyrics this week, it was amazing, the imagery of the life of Jonah and what went on. And so I want you to, we put the words in the bulletin there for you, so you have the lyrics. And I just want you to listen along, and you'll see certain words and phrases come out. And I kind of want this to be what we're going to wrap up the book of Jonah with. And so once the video's done, I'll just kind of come up and we'll pray, and then we'll be finished.